Good morning. Welcome to Merriweather Beach. Another beautiful day, April. Be a bit later when this gets on the website due to the popular demand of our podcast. But welcome, Beach Business Breakfast Show. It's Dave Hall with Jeremy again. Our guest today is Rod. From Rod's got a couple of businesses that he's going to tell us about, which is good. But just a reminder, the Beach Business Breakfast, Thursday of every month, 7:30 till 8:30. Merriweather Surf Club, $10, get you informal networking, great opportunity to meet new business contacts and hopefully grow your business. So Rod, thanks for coming in this morning.
I need some shades too. Thanks very much, David.
We do have some. Norm had a spare pair before. I should have got them for you. Jeremy's
Can I borrow
back.
He's
got his back towards.
Yeah, and then
that's Jeremy's best side.
That's cool. This could be my
best. You may not need two pairs, but
I'd
just like to.
But anyway, listen.
Jeremy's got his a new shirt on today. From Lowe's, which is good. And Rod is in his shirt. We've had a while to on it, but he's
still waiting for our Lowe's sponsorship. Anyone out there that works at Lowe's will
come forward, please.
What, t-shirts?
T-shirts, board shorts.
Anything like that.
We'll get a Vanuatu and Steeler shirt.
Yep, sensational. So, Rod said he'd never actually been a Vanuatu, but someone gave him the shirt. It's a beautiful shirt. So, Rod, thanks for coming in. So,
thank you very much.
Now, we know you've been in the beach breakfast for basically since the start, which is fantastic, and you've got a couple of businesses. What did you do before you sort of started doing what you're doing now? What's your sort of background? What did you do?
Listen, first of all, I just want to thank you very much, and I think it's a really great thing that you guys are putting on, and hopefully you can touch a lot of people's lives, which I'm sure you do.
We're getting very, very good feedback about the Beach Business Breakfast and about the podcast, and they're a bit of fun, and it's an opportunity for people to get to know you and then go, hey, I want to do business with that guy, or here's some people I want to give, tell people about, so they'll use him or her or them.
Enough self-congratulating, though.
Onto the show.
Okay, background was grew up farming. Background's in agriculture, basically.
What sort of agriculture?
Farmed tobacco, cattle, corn, maize or wheat.
And that was in South Africa?
Zimbabwe. Irrigation engineer and agronomist by profession. Wanted to give my children a better life and a future for them. So here I am in paradise.
Oh, that's fantastic.
People don't realise how good they got it.
Escape to Australia.
Anyway. So with your businesses, send out cards is one thing that you do. Tell us a bit about that.
Pretty much after an accident, I got passionate about passive income. So whether you're sick or whether you're not, or whether you're old or whether you're young, you've got an income coming in 24/7. So, the first thing that started was I got into investment properties because I figured if you get a passive, you have five properties, you go to work because you like working, not like helping people, not because you have to work. Pretty much. And the biggest limiting factor I discovered was trying to facilitate finance. Banks and things are specifically for investment properties and not so good. Coupled with that, I later discovered residual income, which is through network marketing. And I used a tool in my investment property and mortgage business, which was a company called Send Out Cards. And I just used to send cards by mail with a gift or just a personal touch thanking them for, and it really did a hell of a lot for my business. It's a great tool. People don't get things in the post. And just heartfelt things. Genuine, you know what I mean? You create your own cards, you send them for about $2.50 a card, delivered on their door. And then recently, only in December, I decided to treat it as a business, not as a tool for my business. Over a period of about 4 or 5 years, you'll have an income of anything $500 to $1,000 a week coming in from people you don't even know. So it's just multiple income streams. But essentially, we're looking for passive income or residual income. In other words,
So tell us a bit about the mortgage broking. So you're looking at investment properties, so you get rental income and, saw that people having issues with finance and that sort of stuff. So you got into when did you get into mortgage broking?
About 5 years ago, after I quit irrigation and agriculture, I decided that, there's only a limited number of houses here. It's absolutely brilliant opportunity to get investment properties.
Yep.
And I've learned a lot. A lot of it, everything is education.
Yep.
So people said cash flow, other people said capital appreciation.
Yep.
People reckon you should never ever sell, you should buy and only keep them.
Yep.
Yeah, there's
there's
two stories to everything. Yeah.
Lots of different ways to do it.
So pretty much you need both. You need capital appreciation and cash flow. You start off probably further out of the main centres where you can
afford,
a bit cheaper, you can afford. But you test and measure it every year.
Yep.
And then start selling off and moving. If a property is not performing, you move it on and then buy closer to the CBD.
Yep.
Where you're getting a better chance of capital appreciation as well.
So yep. was the decision to do, you know, I guess your qualification for finance and mortgage broker specifically just a natural extension of being around investment property, or
no, not at all.
Why did you woke up one day and were like, oh, I think I'll go and get my mortgage qualification? How does that start?
Well, I arrived in the country, went to the bank to borrow money to buy a house, and Westpac said they'll lend me $48,000, and I'm not going anywhere with that.
And not here anyway.
No. Contemporary of mine worked for Aussie Home Loans, and yeah, went ahead, bought two houses and a block of ground, just purely because what he knew.
Yep.
I didn't have a superannuation, so I figured that property was my vehicle for retirement. And also, you keeping place with inflation, it's index linked, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so there sort of was a dissatisfaction with the bank and their effort to lend you money for investment. It's sort of, you're like, oh, well, obviously other people must have this problem too. Is that?
Well, it woke me up to the fact that, yeah, it's fine to say investment properties, but not many people are cashed up. And for lending money, there's a huge difference between different banks, different lenders, huge. Specifically when you start specializing into property investment or niche markets.
That's when having like a broker working on your behalf for the mortgage, they're not self-interested so much with the bank. They go, well, who will lend you money for this investment property?
If you think of like a mortgage as like a car, you know, different cars do different things for different people, and yeah, different companies produce cars and or mortgages
for
it's just a vehicle for building wealth through property. So that's the thing. Like some banks we know will take more rent into account or take more allowances into account or are not worried about age or not worried about postcode and that sort of thing. It's just a matter of knowing which one to go to.
It's not all about the interest rate. People get fixed on the interest rate. So basically, yes, I went off, I did a diploma in finance. I got my real estate license, which is a waste of time really, because it's not the same sort of thing.
Yep.
I did a fair bit of investment property education and did my school fees. And I get a huge buzz out of helping people get set up with investment properties.
Yep.
That's anything that creates passive income. Or through Sendout Cards is a tool for them for their data management and grow their business through that.
So how did you get your first couple of clients in the mortgage business? How did that sort of come about?
If you remember.
Was it through that education that you were doing that you met people who were looking to get into real estate as well and probably had the what location to buy in and what to look
for? People who were going, oh, Rob, what are you doing? And then they asked
for
help or?
Pretty much my wife worked in family law for family lawyer, and I started off deciding a niche would be for people that battle to get loans through credit impairment or through other things.
Yep.
That was a big challenge. And trying to help women who'd had a divorce settlement, they'd got a big deposit but they had no means to service the loan, to get them into a house. So I started basically on that one, and then I also, early on, through the family law story, actually company, I met a financial planning company that I also got some quality referrals out of them because otherwise you
battle. Some really key relationships with businesses.
It's crucial in this game.
The kind of clients that you were.
It's absolutely crucial. And as much as I love helping folk that are in a bad place, it's hard work and not all of them appreciate it.
Yeah.
So probably an ideal client is somebody who wants to build a passive income and wants to do a property investment portfolio to as a vehicle. And it's not to say that there's nothing wrong with shares and because I did stock market and I did a few courses on that, and I did my school fees. But so I believe that there's a balanced thing. You do both, but your profits, whatever you make out of the stock market, you park in a property.
I mean, and that's where you've got, like, we're talking multiple income streams. So you've got investment properties, your sort of work, if you like, in mortgage broking or finance, send out cards and whatever else you've set up. And that way you've got more than one thing happening at a time.
Yeah, all your eggs in one basket.
A well practiced.
Well, yes. Okay, so my business, mortgage broking business, I could grow that a lot more substantially, treat it as a business, a saleable asset. You do have a trail commission, so you do have an income from that side.
Building up a business each month,
I haven't really focused much on that. I've been focusing purely on trying to help people and on a one-to-one basis, which is something different.
What sort of marketing do you do on the mortgage side? Like, I know you come to our networking event and you go to other networking events, which, you kind of meet people who are starting in business or in business, or accountants, planners, real estate agents, the sort of bread and butter for mortgage brokers. What did you do, like, much social media? Do you do, like...
That's an interesting one, because I started off with traditional advertising.
Yeah.
Radio, magazines, newspapers, and I threw a lot of money against the wall. And I bought leads off internet companies.
Yep.
Total waste of time. The best is, and I was born BC before computers. So it's basically face-to-face, word-of-mouth referrals, and I believe that's where you build your best relationships.
So with your radio ads, what did you do there? What sort of campaign was it?
Man, I spent quite a lot of money on it. It was over about a three-month period, and the idea was trying to educate people, bring them to events where I could talk to them one-on-one, give them presentations about investment properties and what you're looking at. It wasn't greatly successful at all. I'll never forget going to RSL. I had it all set up and talking about retirement and all that. And I sat there and I looked at all these folk over the age of 60, 65 at the poker machines. And nobody was inside.
Yeah. Should have been doing an investment course on how to buy a poker machine.
I should have been saying, listen, make money here so you can spend it on poker machines, how to leverage your house.
Investment course on how to pay for your poker machine.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So you tried seminars and those sorts of things?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you would know where you sit there all by yourself waiting for the crowd to arrive.
Yeah, and magazines and...
And newspapers. So lately I decided social media.
Yep.
And that's a real hard one, because I don't find any real depth of connection or anything on these things, especially Facebook. But I've met some really lovely ladies who are promising to show me the light and the truth and everything else. through business beach breaky.
We had the great session with Kim on LinkedIn, so I think LinkedIn is sort of probably more where you might want to head with your
it was great because it did open it up,
becoming like a knowledge expert.
And I think, look, social media, whilst it's maybe not as quite much now, it's been a really popular, like, this is the latest in marketing, But I think, much like your income strategy of, like, okay, yeah, I've got different streams, your marketing should be the same. It's like, okay, I've got a little bit in LinkedIn, maybe a little bit in Facebook, I'm doing networking here, networking there, I'm maintaining the relationship with the lawyer and the conveyancer. And
like farming, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Planting different crops, you've got to water them, you've got to irrigate them, you've got to fertilize them.
Don't plant all your paddocks with the same thing.
And you've got to weed them,
make sure you weed them.
So, yes, I met Kim. Kim's great. I met Emily. She's also great. Yeah. You know, each got their different specialities. Mm. Yesterday was a lady, Kat.
Yep.
And she did traditional marketing as well. And I thought that was brilliant. Yep. At the end of the day, it's contact, face-to-face relationship.
I think that's a thing for a lot of
financial services.
A lot of them. Marketing in mortgage broking, accounting, planning, real estate—it's face to face.
It's such a position of trust.
And that's what I love, is that each person becomes a friend. Not in it to churn money over or anything like that. Would far rather genuinely help somebody
and it sort of goes a bit beyond that. We're talking with one of our first breakfast podcasts with Richard, the buyer's agent, and one of the clients he had, he actually helped them move.
He's also a brilliant.
Yeah, because that was the issue was the client was in a position they wanted to get into their house, but they couldn't get a room list in time. So a truck and a couple of mates, and we moved the client in. So it is, as you say, it's more than just a transaction. It's a long-term relationship.
It's a relationship.
You're trying to build, and then, you know, through those people, you get your testimonials, and then you can build that and that sort of thing. So
yeah. You've learned a lot of lessons along the way, some of them financially painful by the sounds of it. Apart from the idea that maybe radio advertising is not the first choice for mortgage broker promotion, what other lessons can you teach us? Television before computers. So
it's pretty much about people. I genuinely like people, and I really enjoy trying to help them get their most potential. And a lot of people are stuck in a rut, or they're stuck in because they don't know what they don't know, and they're too afraid to take the next step out. And it's a big thing, buying an investment property. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge purchase. So.
Or even just a property, you know, just get people, you know, young people or older people getting into their first home. You mentioned the example before of the lady who was divorced. You know, there's quite a lot of people who are in that position in their 40s and 50s starting again. Mortgage broker or the bank can help them. But I think the benefit of the mortgage broker is you've got the access to lots of lenders, rather than maybe just the lender you deal with.
Well, from an investment property business, I did one scenario, and between one lender, the top and the bottom lender was $72,000 extra in lending capacity, which is another house, basically. Yeah. And I also had one owner-occupied recently. The difference between the one lender, you've got to be retired at 65, the loan has to be paid off, and I found another one where you could go to 85. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the difference between a mortgage broker and going to a bank.
Mm. Yeah, and I know the banks are changing a lot around living expenses now and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, some will take less into account or more, which impacts the amount that people borrow.
So, yeah. I'll ask one kind of practical example. What do you write in your send out cards? I want to know what words do you put in there that gets people going, oh, thanks, Rod, that was really nice. What are you writing?
Ask David, he'd probably receive one.
Yeah, I got one after one of our first beach business breakfasts from Rod, and I got one from one of Rod's clients, which is just to come out of the blue, just opened it
just
up, and there it was just a
thank you, appreciation. You create them yourself, so you can put pictures and photographs.
So you're just saying, like, really nice to meet you, or...
As a business, you can, for anybody's business, anybody who's got a database, yes, you... Very nice to meet you. I send pictures of their house. I take photographs, put them on a card. Thank you for your settlement. Send it to them at settlement. You can send one. You can send about 5 times during the year. You don't want to spam them, but you can send them for their birthdays, but it's a genuine card. You can send a gift with it as well. So you can send a cake, or you can send a movie ticket voucher or coffee voucher. And just a genuine thank you.
Yeah. I won't send pictures of people's houses about... thanks for completing your website. Here's a photo of your house. Yeah. That wouldn't be weird.
Yeah, because you got into cards or something in your earlier days. Or you had...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done lots of different things. We have a process where we will send out to... when we've taken on a new job, we send out, assuming we make time to do it, a little sort of intro letter, like, say, you know, thanks for being a client, and usually a lanyard and a USB stick or something, something tactile, because
they can touch,
you know,
feel,
we're
smell,
dealing
whatever.
In the invisible internet cloud, like, it's all just, you know, invisible. So we try and send
something
that's real.
Tangible.
I have seen some terrible examples about how not to use it and what messages not to say, but
on the send out card,
but it's up to the person. If the person's genuine and he means it, and it goes on really well.
Yeah.
And I've sent it just to thank you for servicing my car. You did a really great job.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
I think if you use it as a substitute for, like, a note you would send anyway, and you do it sort of like to one person, then that's fine. But if you're just sending it to like 100
dear
people, and you picked up their business cards and say, oh, hey, Fred, you're awesome. Let's catch up for coffee. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you do it,
it's targeted, and it's got to add value to the relationship, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what you make of it. I mean,
you're using it as a short way of doing something you would do anyway, not as a sort of broadcast marketing tool.
No. Certainly don't want to spam people. It's got to be genuine. Otherwise, you're no different to any other guy putting things in your letterbox.
Yeah.
So, Rod, finally, just if you were starting business today, you said you started PC before computers. Would you do anything different apart from maybe not spend money on radio press and magazines? Is there anything you'd do differently now than if you're starting off?
Yeah, I'd say there are quite a lot of things I'd do differently. Well, the first thing I'd probably do is get into property development, because I think that's a far better, and you can help people a lot in there as well.
Yeah.
I must be honest that compared to like irrigation, where I really, really enjoyed helping farmers get better yields, make more profit, you had a product to sell, which was a lot easier and a lot more tangible than
selling a service.
Than selling a service.
There's a need there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think people can see the end result. That's the thing. Yeah.
And my biggest thing would be to get in earlier, to start earlier.
Yeah.
And to start doing like a passive income stream a lot earlier than when I started. I started very late. I mean, basically in last year.
Yeah. So 36.
Was about started at 18. I'd have been retired by the time I was 33.
Come and enjoy the beach a bit more. So
yeah, this is it. I'd be a surfer now. I'd be doing triathlons.
It's never too late to start surfing or doing anything wrong.
It's never. It's never ever. It just takes a decision.
There's no real.
It's perfect.
Beautiful, isn't it?
So look, thanks for coming in, Rob. Much appreciated. Thanks for being part of the Beach Business Breakfast.
Yeah,
it's been good having a chat. So hopefully a lot of people will have a watch of this and go, send out cards, it's for me, or I need help with investment properties. So
yeah,
I'll,
if you want, you want the least pushy send out cards person in the world, that's Rod. least salesman-y, least network marketing-y.
That's the problem.
Have a talk to Rod.
That's not,
he won't try and make you send out many cards.
But I want to thank you very much for a great computer service you do, and also a really great job you do in facilitating this, and you touch a lot of people's lives yourselves.
Fantastic.
And
we're
thank you.
Very, very, very good feedback, and we're getting 40 to 50 people at each meeting now. So, but you know, there's ways we can improve it, which we'll do. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
So
awesome, thanks
again, Rod, and enjoy the rest of your day.
If I can help you, give me a shot.
Yep.
Be a pleasure.